Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz with you in this market meltdown Wednesday. You know, I don't know why anybody is surprised. I don't know why anybody is questioning with the action that we're seeing. This has been one of the most telegraphed asset bubbles. And if you've been listening to the Bubba Show for the last year, you would have been aware that this was a very real possibility that the markets are going to melt down. Why are we so surprised that it is happening? I don't get it. I listen to these people in Davos, one after another, economists tell me that, oh, well, it's going to be okay. Now, again, of course we're going to be okay. We are going to come out of this like any other time. But this is only the start, kids. Don't kid yourself. Don't panic. Don't dump. But this is only the beginning. You know, as we can go back to the carpenters, we've only just begun. You cannot continue to kick the can down the road. You cannot continue to try to financially engineer a market. And you cannot allow the rich to just get richer while screwing the middle class. Why do we think that this time is different? It is never different. There is no reason for what we have happening. And why the ignorant Federal Reserve could not see this coming is beyond me. It's beyond comprehension that we could not see that there was problems developing. It's beyond comprehension that you allow these people to come out and continue to tell you how great the jobs are when they sucked. The jobs were ridiculous. The growth in jobs is such a joke that it would make me want to puke. Okay? I can't stand it anymore when I have to listen to these people talk and justify, and then listen to the money managers come out and say, well, it's fine and don't worry about it. Well, yeah, because it's not their money. They're collecting your fees and aren't worried about your money. They're worried about themselves. Okay. And how they're going to make their money now. Can we not finally just admit that we have an asset bubble and that it's got to collapse? And maybe, I doubt it, but maybe we'll just let it collapse for once and let real markets take over. This is the problem in financially engineered spaces when you have a bunch of people sitting around a desk that are looking at the library book and trying to figure out economic theory and how to run a business from a textbook. Now, I know that my listeners are a lot of entrepreneurs and people that understand how the business model works. And we all know one thing, that you cannot get away from a problem. You can't try to push the problem down the road. The problem has to be addressed, and it has to be addressed immediately. But of course, we chose to put this one off for 7 years. So is it any surprise that there's a lot of sweating and fretting around the globe as the global economies melt down? Who would have thunk? Gee, you think that this could possibly happen? That the people that are deciding our lives are reading out of a book and don't have any idea how the real markets function? You think that the Fed is doing the job it was intended to do, which is to just, was there a mandate to destroy the middle class? Maybe I missed something. Maybe I better go back and read it again. Maybe it's said in there in fine print. Let's kill the middle class. Let's kill the economy. And not have true growth. Let's accept low-paying jobs that will not help us move this economy forward. Maybe I missed that somewhere along in my studies of history. Because certainly, if you look at it and you listen to some of these people speak, I won't name names, but if you watch, you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay, but again, I hear economist after economist talk to me and say, hey, we're going to be fine. This is going to be wonderful. There's no problem. And of course, if you listen to the Bubba Show here, you knew that this was evident that it's coming. So is any shock that the Dow is 15% off its high? Is any shock that we're now testing those August 24 lows, which is just a sampling of what's to come in the future? You know, you cannot hide from problems. You can think about hiding, but any one of us who has ever done anything and anything of reality, which I don't know, I guess I don't think our people in charge are living in reality, starting from the top down. You know, as I wrote yesterday in my blog, the government is broken. Well, the system is broken. The total manipulation of markets in this case, okay, is a joke. Markets do not like to be manipulated. And eventually, markets overcome even the biggest of imbeciles. Because eventually, free market always win the day. And I cannot stand the fact that the Fed tried to hold down free markets for all this time and let them be manipulated by themselves, not to mention, as they sat back and day traded the market and watched what's going on and continued to be a party to this when there were so many simple solutions that were just unbelievably easy that we could have done and avoided any of this mess that we're going to have right now. And of course, the real problem here is the elderly. The real problem here is the ones that are either retired or close to retirement. Because once again, they're going to watch their portfolios get slammed and listen to that guy who says, don't worry about it, it'll come back. It very well will come back. The market does come back and it will come back. This is the greatest country in the world. But it ain't coming back tomorrow, okay? We ain't coming back so fast. And as you all chose to decide to ignore the massive warning signs that were out there, like the underlying stocks of the S&P, like the basic material stocks that were down 20 and 30%, like Walmart that was down 30%. I mean, are we really going to base the rest of our careers and lives and nation on companies like Amazon that have a P.E. ratio of 954-1? Do we really think that that is the new answer? This reminds me of the 90s. This time is different. It doesn't matter. We don't have to make real money. Why do we have to make real money? What is it good for? Okay, we don't need it. It just magically appears among ourselves. And again, that, of course, is all bullshit. And of course, I'm tired of listening to the bull. It makes me, obviously you can tell by my anger, that it makes me angry to listen. Now, unfortunately, I have to listen because I am on air all the time and I have to be able to fight and debate the crap that's being spewed out there so that my friends, the middle class, the average guy that is getting trampled once again, because they were forced in by idiots, making them buy into the dividend play because dividends are paying more than the 10-year. Yeah, but of course, now your stocks are down 5 times or 10 times what the dividend would pay. Kind of hard to get out from there. Anyways, make sure you check out my hedging program. Again, we continue to slide. We continue to go down. And I can prevent all that. I can show you how to prevent all that. And if you're not doing that, you are making the mistake. Okay? Again, I'm here to help. I've got the solution. I've got the easy answer. But it's up to you to take the next step. Go to BubbaTrading.com. Check it out. Get all my shows at LibertyTalk.fm on demand. And we're going to step out of here for a break. And I'm going to calm down. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back to of the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, yesterday I was on BNN, and that's Business News Network out of Canada. And that was right before Netflix earnings. And I made a couple of calls, which I think you'll find extremely interesting. But I also talked about the markets overall and what's going on. Let's go to yesterday and listen to me with Michael Hainsworth on BNN. Here we go.
Big sell-off followed by the recovery. Let's go to Chicago to get some perspective on that. The chief market strategist at BubbaTrading.com joins us now, Todd Horowitz. Todd, good to have you with us again.
Great to be back, Michael. Great to be here with you.
What happened with the whipsaw here? Is this a simple case of when the market is doing well, we sell on the strength, and then when we see the weakness, we buy back?
You know, Michael, it's more become, we're having like a rotation right now. It was for 7 years buy the dip. Every time the market sold off, it was a buyer. It has now become a sell the rally market, because now we're starting to see bad news is bad news, good news is bad news. There is no news that really wants to drive this market forward. We're now coming into an earnings season that the bar has been set so low. There are so many issues being floated around the markets that right now these markets look like they want to correct, and it looks like they're going to go most likely significantly lower here.
Okay, do you have a point at which the charts tell you we've got a bottom in play?
Well, I think for right now, you have to look at 1870 and then 1850. 1850 will be the key battleground, which we tried to go through on Friday, but that's the key ground from the August 24th low. That's a footprint that was put into the market saying, hey, this is an area. I believe before it's all done, we're going to go lower than that. But again, it's hard to, you know, to pick levels way out in space. My ultimate timing level, I think, is 1586 in the S&P, which is about another 17 or 18% from where we are now.
The International Energy Agency came out with their report today. They're worried about Iran coming online in a pretty big way, basically flooding us with oil.
I think that has nothing to do with anything. I think that, first of all, I think let's look at the dynamics of what's happened to the oil trade in general. The biggest problem we have here is the dollar is way too strong. The second problem is we're producing so much of our own oil that we're creating a little bit of a glut. We've had unbelievably warm weather here. The Iran oil has no basis to what we're doing here and is not causing our prices to drop, nor would it cause them to rise. If you've watched closely, you've seen the spread in Brent and WTI collapse. If we go back in history, that used to be traded a big premium because there was always that fear premium built in that if something went wrong in the Middle East, Americans would go crazy and they'd chase up oil and the prices would go wacko. Well, we saw over the last couple of weeks some issues in the Middle East, and what did oil do? It continued to fall, because at the end of the day, we are no longer dependent on Mideast oil. Iran flooding the market. They're flooding their market, which is why Brent is drawing below, is now below WTI. As far as we're concerned here, we have a glut. We've had, again, unseasonably warm weather, not a big demand. The middle class is still in recession, not driving much. So for all those reasons, our oil is good. Now, I happen to like oil here. I happen to be a big fan of oil at this level, around the $30 level. We closed either side of 30 here, unless you're looking at the February future, which is expired. But the March future is trading somewhere around 30. And if you look out into the future and we go 1 year from today, oil is trading at a 27% premium to where it is priced today. So that's a contango pattern, which just means we're moving higher. And I believe that we're going to move higher. I think they've already trashed the oil stocks. They've trashed the commodity itself. If anything goes wrong, if the dollar gets weaker, if anything happens that provides oil, oil will spike up. Now, I don't think it's going straight up. I would look right now. I'm first looking at 34 to 36. That's my first target. I think it's got a chance to get back to the 40s, but I don't think we're going to see $100 oil again for quite a while.
What do you think of technology stocks at this point in the cycle?
Well, I think they're going to go significantly lower. I think Apple's, you know, Apple is a great company. I like it. I own their products. I think Apple's not going anywhere until it trades on the 92. It's got to match or meet that footprint that we saw put in on the 24th. I think Amazon, I've always felt, was well overpriced, and I thought that it's a sell. I think Amazon goes significantly lower. Netflix has earnings today. I think they'll probably, they may miss. I think the stock will rally, though, because I think the stock has sold off pretty good, right down to some pretty good support. But overall, I think Netflix is not going to be a major player down the road. It may be a year or two from now, but I think somebody will either take them out or take them under, because I think that there are other people that have more money that can play, and I think Apple's a perfect example. If they wanted to, they could take Netflix and put them out of business. But the overall tech space, I think, is going to be weak. I think the place I want to look for myself, I want to look into the basic materials. I want to look in the beaten down commodity sectors, because that's where you're getting the highest dividend pays. The stocks have already been beaten down, and you have, I think, the best chance for recovery this year. But overall, I look for the year to be a pretty ugly year going forward. I think that the Fed made a brutal mistake by raising, although I wish they would have raised years ago when they were supposed to, but that created more of a problem with the dollar, which is creating more of a problem in the commodity space. This deflationary scenario that we're getting here is brutal because it's putting too many people out of work.
Todd, always great getting your take. Thank you so much.
And of course, we talk a lot about jobs on the show here because we know that the jobs suck. We know that the economy is not in good shape. So why is it that we know and knew all of this, and the geniuses that are supposed to be taking care of us don't know? Again, I ask you to tell me what you think, because again, I'm one man with one opinion, but my opinion is fairly good as to what is going on. We have seen the overall meltdown in many stocks, okay, who could not participate in all that M&A activity, all that artificial growth in a market that had no business growing. Because if you don't support jobs, which we didn't, again, you heard stories, and they were fairy tales at how good the jobs were. If the jobs were that good, the economy would not be melting down. We would not be in correction territory. If the Federal Reserve was not irresponsible and incompetent, we would not be in the position we are today. The best way to have handled this situation, and this goes back to something we talked to many times here, if you were going to bail out the banks once, that was fine, but to continue to support them for 7 years was ludicrous. It was ridiculous. It had no basis in where our market should be. I look for a lot of devastation. I look for a lot of pummeling here. Now, again, we will not go straight down. There will be market rallies. And what those are going to be is an opportunity to sell and get short. Because if you're trading from both sides of the market, then you'll be prepared to do so. If you are someone who understands overall market function, okay, and it's very simple because we all understand it. It is not a complicated thing. Again, if you just bring it down to going to a flea market, flea markets are free markets, okay? You have buyers and you have sellers. They find a place in which the exchange of wealth will take place, and that is what's known as price discovery. That is what's known as a free market. That's what's known at I'm bidding, you're offering, and at some place where we may meet. But as long as you have the financial engineering Fed and the doves of the world unite, you will not come out of this mess, and the mess will be created to be even bigger. Because when it all ends, when it's all said and done, all of this heartburn, all of this creation of phony markets could have been avoided if the geniuses would have just said, okay, let's let the market break. Let's sort the weak out, because there's a lot of weak out there. Let's let them flush out of business, because unfortunately, real markets, real business, not everybody can make it. Sometimes you're just not strong enough. But we chose not to do that. We chose to be ridiculous in our theory. We chose to let the economists, who have never been right about anything, control this. And of course, here we are in a meltdown. And that is why I encourage you I beg you, okay, check out the hedging program that I offer at BubbaTrading.com, because if you are not doing that, you are making one of the bigger mistakes in your life. Because if you're in the market, you're going to end up having the egg on your face once again, and that is very, very avoidable by just simply going to the BubbaTrading.com, going to the hedge program under the store, and looking what it's about, and defending your portfolio, which is defending your assets. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. You missed an episode, LibertyTalk.fm, on demand. Well, we're going to stop by here for a break. We'll be back with our analyst, Matt Demeter, after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Chalady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's time for the one, the only, Matt Demeter from Demeter Research, remains on in fuego, on fire, and continues to kind of nail this market. I think, though, pretty soon him and I are going to be on different pages, but welcome aboard, Matt.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be here.
So, Matt, we had, you know, almost last week, you came on, you said that you looked for some more selling, and, of course, we had more selling. You looked for problems, and we had problems. And what's your take now going into this week?
Well, this week, I think, is the pivotal week, whether we continue to break down or whether we have a big bounce. I think we're going to get the big bounce. But where we bottomed was almost perfect on Friday. So this week, I want to see if we break that bottom at the end of last week, then I think, you know, the sell-off continues. But otherwise, I think this is the spot at which I would expect a big bounce.
Okay, and are you still on the scoreboard of saying we're going to see new all-time highs again?
If we bounce from here, I think it's likely we'll see new highs. If we break down, I still say we go to new highs, but it's going to take a while. I think just in the S&P, we could be looking at, you know, another 200 points lower before we would then go back to rally mode.
Now, what is going to make us go to new highs here? Now, before you answer, I mean, I'm a technical guy just like you, but I think at some point, you know, eventually the fundamentals play out in the tape, in the footprint, okay? And I see no reason, me personally, I see no reason to step in and buy here unless you're hedged like I am. So I could see, I have no valid reason to be a buyer and step in other than what we'll see, which is the bear market rallies. But I want you to answer part A first, which is besides the technicals, what is going to be the impetus that will allow this market to push higher? I mean, there is no news out there that's going to get going. So the only thing that could happen is we could have a major short covering rally, which I expect to see, but I don't think that can push us to new highs. So tell me why that's wrong.
Well, I'm betting on a short covering rally, but I'm not positive we're going to get to new highs on this move. There was a target high that I still below below new highs, just slightly below the May highs of last year. So that would be, you know, about as far as I think this rally would take us. So as far as the impetus, I don't really think there, I don't see it either. I can't, you know, look into the future and see what it might be. We do have an ECB meeting on Thursday. It's possible they'll say they're going to do, you know, more QE. You know, maybe we'll come out of Europe. But honestly, I couldn't really say. Then the next week, not this week, not this coming week, but the next week we have the Fed. Maybe they'll, you know, talk a little more dovish. That might help, you know, help a short covering rally, you know, push ahead.
Okay. Well, I think my personal opinion is I think everybody on the street, all the guys that, you know, that kind of control the markets, believe that there's going to be another rate cut, believes that the Fed is going to be more dovish, and believes that there possibly is a QE4 coming. But I think that also, I think they also believe that all of those point to no longer, I think, is that beneficial to the market. I think that's actually more of a hindrance to the market. You have any opinion to that?
Well, I agree that it's harmful for them to continue to manipulate. However, I would think for the stock market, it would send it higher. So I mean,
okay. Well,
I mean, I don't think it's, you know, healthy. I just think it would probably still work.
Yeah, well, I think it doesn't work anymore. I think that's one of the things you're seeing. We all know that the Fed is as dovish as they can be. We all know that the Fed is the most incompetent organization. Well, I don't know if it's the most. I mean, the government's pretty incompetent too. So, but I think we know, and I think really the signs from a fundamental standpoint, that would be very bad news. And I think people might rather not have no return and stay away than want to rush in. But again, that's what makes a market. Now, again, I do believe, and I think I want you to comment on this, Matt, because I talk about this all the time. Bear market rallies are vicious, okay? And they look so good. I mean, on Thursday, we had a 400-point rally in 16 minutes, okay? And then that was basically it. Then we basically went back into consolidation. Now, you know, I try to teach everybody and explain to everybody that in a bear market or in a market that's starting to break down, those types of rallies are extremely common. How does that sound in compared to the technical analysis that you do?
Yeah, no, with those short covering rallies are so quick. I think that specifically this week, I have a couple lines I'm looking at. I do have concerns. I'm not fully bullish. One of the issues I have is that volatility, certain aspects of volatility haven't completed to the upside. Price might be the actual level of volatility might have been fine, but I'm looking at some other issues like RSI and some other things. But also Nikkei broke down below supports that I would have said should have held if we were going to get, you know, a global equity bounce. So that's not confirming as well. But as far as I do think we'll get a rally this week in S&P, I'm looking for 1930s essentially. And I want to see what happens in the 1930s. If we turn back down from the 1930s, then I think, you know, this sell-off continues.
What are you looking for, Al Capone? You're in the 1930s again. What the hell's going on here? I mean, you know, we know they're all crooks. So, no, I mean, I agree. I would never say we're going straight down. As a matter of fact, if I had no position in the market right now, I certainly would not be a seller here because I believe that you're going to get the bounce. And, you know, 1920, 1930, maybe 1940, I cannot see going past 1940. 1940 is held in check three times last week. Mm-hmm. And it cannot get through there. Now, again, it doesn't mean that it won't get through there tomorrow or the next day. I can't say for sure, but I cannot justify in my mind, technically speaking, new highs being made in this market. I just don't see how we can get that far because I do believe that now, from a technical standpoint, the bears are now in full control of this market, and the buy the dip mentality is no longer being instituted here. I think that more of the rallies are driven by short covering and by those types of rallies, not by new money coming in. What do you think?
Well, the bears are definitely in control. I mean, we the S&P and the cash index did break to a new low, lower than August. Some of the other indices, such as the DAX, I don't think it has yet, but the Nikkei has, a few others have. So they're definitely in control for right now. I'm using my two levels that I'm looking at are really the low of Friday of last week and that 1930s area. 1930s is resistance. If we pop through, I think it could go a whole lot further. If we fall below the low of last week, which was about 1857 in the S&P, if we break, say, below 1853, I'd say it's over. We're going to go a lot lower to the downside. But so I'm just kind of staying flexible. I know it's kind of speaking out both sides of my mouth, but I just need to stay flexible this week for our subscribers to determine whether this is really, the beginning of, something much bigger.
No, I agree. Look, I agree with you 100%. I'm not, remember, I mean, we are on different sides of the market at certain points just because I can't see the new highs. And I would not fall off my chair if new highs were made. I mean, one thing I know for sure is that bear market rallies can be so vicious and so fast that you could get there. I mean, I don't see it getting there, but it could. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, your market should never surprise you. You should be prepared, and not necessarily you should be long for that move, but certainly if you're short now, you should be ready to cover sooner than later, because again, we did go down to that, that 1850-ish level, 1857, and the two key levels we talked about last week were 1870 and 1850, and we closed the week above 1880 or at 1880, above 1870. So that would indicate that you could be right that there's going to be a rally. And again, I would not be surprised if we see a rally. I'm just concerned that, I'm not concerned. I'm actually thrilled that the markets are breaking down here, because I think that's the proper play. And I think if you have the proper hedge on, you're also happy the market's breaking because you're able to accumulate more stock at lower prices. So I think that overall, that whatever happens is you want to be a seller of rallies. It's for sure. Now again, you just don't sell a 5-point rally. You look for a level. So would you say if you were going to look to get short, 1930 would be the first level you'd look to short?
Absolutely. I'd short there. If we did break above, I would cover. I would take it off, and I would wait till substantially higher. I'd wait till we're into the 2000s till I'd short again.
Well, again, I'd short at 1960 again, and I'd short at 1980. But, again, we always talk about that. That's what makes a market. There is, we need two sides of a market, and your work says X, and my little piddly work, which is not anywhere near as complicated as yours, says no. But, we'll see how that works. Now, when we come back from the break, I want to talk a little about the currencies, because you did like the yen last week, and actually it broke early in the week, and if you bought it, it was actually a flat week overall. But if you bought after Matt said that he liked it, which would have been last Tuesday, you probably were in pretty good shape. And we'll get your comments on the currencies. We're with Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I mean, you can hear him talk. He's an analyst. He understands it. He's got some complex formulas and how he figures out the charts and the moves and what he expects to see. Been really on fire overall. I urge you to check out DemeterResearch.com as well as BubbaTrading.com, in which I want you to look at our hedge program, because if you want to be prepared for the impending crash that's coming, and it's coming, I don't care what anybody says, we're going to get it just mathematically. You should check out our hedging program. If you ever miss a show, LibertyTalk.fm, check it out. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. A man walks down the street, he says, why am I soft in the middle now? Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it's our technical genius, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com. I'm telling you, I urge you to check it out because, again, you can hear him. You hear him every week here, and he's been pretty good, and he understands, what's going on. So, Matt, you liked the yen, last week, and you liked the Canadian. What's your take on the currencies for this week?
Well, I continue to be bearish on a dollar because not only do my charts say that it should be breaking down or that it's already hit a high, at least an intermediate term high, but the commercials, the big banks are heavily, heavily short dollar futures. They're heavily long Canadian. I myself was not bullish on the Canadian dollar. I was on the yen. But the banks are just across the board bullish all foreign currencies, essentially, against the dollar. As of this past week, they really lightened up on their yen position, which is, you know, that's somewhat bullish for the Nikkei, although I don't think that it's over yet. They had a heavy long position in the yen, which typically means that you should expect some sort of weakness in the Nikkei because they move inversely. But they've taken off some of that bet. So now they're about neutral in the Nikkei. And that's kind of how I feel about it right now, too. It is running into, you know, minor resistance levels. It's at a spot where I wouldn't be surprised to see it, you know, pull back a little bit, and then I would be interested in I'd be interested in selling it here and buying it back lower. But long term, I'm very bullish to yen, very bullish. So I think we'll go to I don't think, you know, anybody's calling for this, but I'm calling for a new all time high in the yen. I don't know how. I don't honestly, between here and there, I don't know how that's going to happen fundamentally, but that's what the charts are saying to me.
Well, no, I mean, look, this is, you know what? I don't care. This is, again, when you're a technical analyst, you have to look at your charts, because the truth of the matter is that's a roadmap for everything that we do. So again, I don't know. I mean, I have no opinion myself, but I wouldn't argue with you, but I mean, that would be about a 60% up move on the yen to make it near all-time highs, yes?
Yes, yeah. So we're, you know, this would be pre-Abenomics, a new, you know.
So let me ask you, I just on a quick note, would you buy the yen here, or would you try to wait for a better level? And what if the level you're looking for, what would be the level you're looking for, if you can say?
Well, it kind of depends on whether you're a trader or if you want to invest on longer time scales. If you just want to, you know, buy and hold, I think that would make sense long term. For a trader, I'd say sell here and wait for a pullback to about, if we're just talking the yen rather than dollar yen, I'd say 0.0084-ish, so not much lower.
Okay, but, so if you're a trader, look to make a quick scalp and then get long. And if you're an investor, just kind of step in here. And if you look, let's say you're going to invest a lot of money, you know, let's say you invest $200,000, whatever you're going to invest, you would only put in a small percentage here and then be prepared to buy a little bit more if it went down. But then really what you'd want to do is buy it once it broke to the upside and buy more, yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, Matt, I have a problem. And of course, I don't have a problem with you. You do a great job. You're strictly by the book technicals. You never put your opinion into the market, which I appreciate, because I think that's the more important way to trade. But I think a lot of people get confused, and I think that a lot of the business channels do a disservice to the average trader or investor, because they talk nonsense and they talk that means jack shit. I mean, I don't get it half the time. But, you know, they're right now on the bandwagon and everybody's on, well, oil is going lower, so the market's going lower, and they're coupled. Well, and I say they're not coupled. One has nothing to do with the other. And that, you know, for a short time, anything can be coupled for a short time. But at some point, the commodity space is going to break to the upside, because we know that a lot of it is controlled by the dollar. And we also know that the banks are huge short the dollar, expecting to move down. So at some point, we're going to have a demand for commodities. Things are going to change, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the market will start to rally. And I say that they're not coupled at all, and it means nothing. What do you say?
I agree. I don't think they're coupled. I think, you know, how is it possible that, you know, oil, you know, a drop in oil prices from whatever, 110 when we got towards the highs of, what, 18 months ago, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
No, we dropped, and right. Everybody was saying, oh, what a boost to the stocks. How good, you know, we made new highs since that point. So that was supposed to be a tailwind to the stock market. Now it's a headwind. So it's obviously bad for commodity stocks, and that's a segment of, you know, the S&P and Dow. So that will have a drag effect, but, you know, that the money that, say, ExxonMobil doesn't get goes into the pockets of consumers, and that money then can be spent on other things. So that's, you know, I think it's just all a wash, honestly.
I mean, I just think it's a bunch of BS. I think one thing's got nothing to do with the other. I mean, yes, the oil world is causing a loss of jobs, but the price of oil you know, just 6 months ago, they were talking about, oh, this is great for the consumer. They're going to spend all their money. They're going to make, we're going to do great because it's going to be a great holiday season, low oil prices. And I say BS. And I say the other thing that nobody's talking about. Do you follow Brent as well?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, a year ago, Brent was at a $15 to $20 premium to WTI because the United States was dependent on Brent oil and, you know, Arab oil and such. And now we aren't dependent anymore. So whatever happens in the Middle East, our oil will not jump because of a problem in the Middle East. That was why we were up 18 months ago, was all the trouble in the Middle East, because we were in oil in a backwardation formula, which told you that if you had the money and the stones to sell it, you needed to be selling oil up there at 120 because it was an easy sale because oil was cheaper as you go down. Now we have the reverse pattern on. We're in what we call contango, and oil a year from now is trading at a 20% premium to where it's trading right now, indicating that the markets are actually looking for it to start work higher. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't keep tabs on oil as much as some of the other areas like the high yield bonds. So I follow the symbol HYG, just to, because, and that's somewhat correlated recently anyway to oil, and it's looking like, you know, it's close to a bottom, or a short term bottom, a place to rally from. So my overall take on oil is still a little bit long term bearish. I think it's short term. It could definitely bounce, and HYG is saying we're going to get some sort of bounce here.
What do you think? What do you think of HYG here? I cover that every Monday night on my call. What do you think of the stock here?
Well, I think it's just oversold. I think it needs to have a rally. It's very close to a target level I was looking for. It's not quite there. A little bit lower would be better, but I think it's achieved what I wanted it to achieve in the medium term on the downside. So I'd like to see a rally out of it now.
All right. And let me ask you, so what is your take, or what are your charts? So, you know, with obviously the high yield bonds breaking down at the lowest levels almost ever, which is a sign of people chasing yield somewhere else. And of course, you know, because the demand for yield is high, so it's killed the high interest junk bond, high yield bond market. What do you think of all that?
There's just the chase for yield. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's what's taken a lot of these consumer stocks, consumer non-discretionary stocks like, I don't know, Hormel, maybe is a good example. Those stocks got up to crazy levels in terms of PE. It just didn't make any sense. So I don't follow them very closely, but, you know, I thought that fundamentally they were way overpriced. I'm sure that's corrected somewhat, but no, I think the chase for yield has been a real, caused a lot of distortions in the market.
Yeah, I mean, again, markets are interesting, and that's why you trade the footprint versus the news, because you can never be ahead of the news anyways, and the footprint always is way ahead of the news. I think you agree with that.
Absolutely. Footprints always know well ahead of whatever the news event's going to be.
And that's why we have on our friend Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, always brings, as GE, always bring good things to light. Matt, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
This is the Bubba Show. Make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com. Well, first of all, go to DemeterResearch.com. You got to check them out because, again, you hear him. He's in fuego, on fire, and he continues to ring the bell and rake in the cash. So you got to check out his stuff. In the meantime, check out BubbaTrading.com and check out the hedging program because, again, if you are in the market and you are not hedging your portfolio, you are making one of the biggest financial mistakes of your life. Okay? Because I'm telling you, my program for what it costs will pay for itself 100 times over time. It's up to you. You got to take that step. This is the Bubba Show. Get the on-demand version at libertytalk.fm. They're every day waiting for you. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. I got a feeling.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.